Welcome to Mumfessions, the podcast that will normalise all of the challenges of motherhood. I'm Laura Guckian, life coach, founder of Mind Mommy Coaching, and most importantly, mum of three. This podcast is unlike any other motherhood podcast because you will be my guests. Each week, I will invite you to share your mumfession. A mumfession is any experience or feeling you are having as a mum, but you're too afraid to share. The stuff that makes you feel like you're alone or that you're doing this whole motherhood thing wrong. I want to first of all help you recognize you are not alone and you are not doing it wrong. But most importantly, give you the tools you need to navigate it. This is the emotional village that you need. I almost found myself getting really emotional with this. And I don't know if you've noticed in this episode, I've kind of like had to hold back the tears. And I don't know why, but I think... And I spoke about this on a previous episode with Anna Williamson. It was a lovely episode. Oh my God, I love her. It's just this, 5% of like, did I damage my child? You know, did I do something wrong in those like early years? And oh God, I know I'm upset now, but I know so many mothers will relate to this, that the pressure we put on ourselves, and there's this pressure of you can't mess up those early years. They're so important. And for so many mothers, they are struggling with their mental health or for whatever reason, they're emotionally absent. I think my question to you, and I know we've kind of gone off topic, but I just feel like I've connected with you and you're a good person.
That's very
How kind. Do we let that go? Like, I still hold that 5% where every now and then it just hits me like a train. It's like, you know, Jesus, Laura, like you were so unwell. You weren't there for him. And then the logical part kicks in where I'm like, but you shouted at him the other day and he said, oh, mommy's having a big emotion. Like you're actually doing it. But it's the rawness of the pressure of we need to do this right. We need to do it right. And if we don't do it right, then we've damaged them. And I just felt like I needed to share that with you because I still hold that 5%. I probably always will. And it's like my scar that's still there. It's not hurting me anymore. But for any other mother listening who's in that now, it's hard enough to struggle, whether you're struggling physically, mentally.
Yeah.
I just want them to let that go. I don't want them to feel how I felt. And here I am, 8 years later, still crying about it, having done the work, going, God, did I damage him? Did I do something wrong? Because it wasn't my fault. And I suppose you're an amazing psychologist and I'm asking you to woman, mother to mother.
Yeah.
Did I damage him?
No, absolutely not. And I want you to see that scar not as a negative thing. Because actually, I think that's what makes you a really good mum.
Yeah.
That scar.
Look at me, we're on full-blown therapy here.
No, that scar is more like... How can we reframe it? Because I like that you've called it a scar and it's like something visible. But I think, you know, scars can be beautiful.
Yeah.
Right? Scars say, I've had an experience and it hurt. But look, it healed.
Yeah.
And something's left on you. How can it not? Like, to me, that makes sense that you carry it with you. You're going to carry it with you forever in your mothering journey with your little boy. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. So maybe rather than looking at it as I harmed my child, you can think about it as that's part of my relationship with my child. And that's what reminds me that I'm a really good mom because I went through that really hard bit and look where I am now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think so many mothers go through this.
And that's why I just felt so compelled. I know I didn't mean to start wailing, but that's what happens on this podcast. We laugh, we cry. That is motherhood.
Absolutely.
That is motherhood.
It's real.
It's but real.
But you know, so like this mum and you, you know, mums around the world, I really want you to know that you are really good parents. And I don't believe in blaming our parents for the things they got wrong. I believe in trying to offer them understanding and compassion. Because like you said, they did their best with what they had.
Yeah.
Now we're doing our best with what we have, which is often a bit more than what they had.
Yeah. So and maybe that's not a good thing either because we're bombarded with this is how to do it.
Exactly. It's not black and white. Yeah. It's not like, so we're better. No, we're different.
Yeah.
Right? We're different. We know more, so we might do something different. But we're going to get it wrong too.
It got to a stage that I knew that if I didn't fix myself, I was going to break my beautiful kids and my marriage. Now that I have to return to work, I have all the normal anxious feelings. But the biggest thing for me is that I feel I was robbed and that my kids and my husband were robbed of the past 15 months. and would love a second chance to make it right. I don't feel angry that it happened to me. I feel sad and disappointed. My second child had colic, so I wasn't under any illusions that it was going to be easy. I mean, how was it ever going to be anything but hard with three small kids? But nothing had prepared or could have prepared me for this. I would love a second chance more than anything in this world to go back and fix it. But with the right help and support, I am slowly, very, very slowly learning that you can't go back. You have to leave the past go in order to move forward to hopefully a happier future.
I think this is one of the hardest confessions we've had. I could actually feel myself having to swallow the tears there, because it's programmed into me, and any life coaches or therapists listening, we're programmed that you can't show emotion, you can't show the vulnerability. I'm really, really sad hearing that. And if I'm being honest, the first time I heard it, I cried, probably because it sounded like she was describing my story and I could relate to every part of it. That word that she said, I want to go back, I want to go back, I want to go back, I want a second chance. Like in my bones, I felt like that for 3 years. I just know how she's feeling. And I know as a mother, sometimes you can't put words on that feeling. You don't have to with me. I just know. I know how she feels in her bones. And you can't go back. You can't go back. And like, geez, I'm nearly getting upset. Like it's the grief that comes with. And it's exactly probably why I do what I do. It's the absolute grief of the experience you thought you would have versus what you had. It's the anger of, why didn't I get the picture perfect, happy experience that I grew up thinking I'd have of motherhood? It's the inner critic of, what did I do wrong? I talk about this about mental health all the time. Every single mental health challenge is real and valid and hard, but there is nothing. There is nothing harder than a mother struggling with her mental health, because we don't get to go back to bed. We don't get to have time out. We have to get up every day and be a mother. And we do it despite all of that. And that is absolutely outstanding. There isn't a word that can define how incredible mothers are who struggle with their mental health and do it anyway, because we don't have the choice of stepping back.
You know, I remember lying in bed with this crippling postnatal depression, which I didn't know it was at the time, and birth trauma and anxiety, and I hadn't slept. And I remember just feeling black and empty and thinking, and genuinely, I wouldn't say contemplating suicide, that's a big thing to say, but genuinely feeling that I can see why not being here might be a more comforting option for me right now. And I think when you've been in those moments, and then the first experience I had actually with the toxic boyfriend, and I was experiencing such crippling anxiety and panic attacks, I remember driving my car and thinking that if I just sort of, you know, swerved the wheel into the central reservation and I sort of had a bit of a car accident that put me in hospital for 3 weeks, so I could just kind of go, oh, sorry, I've got a broken leg or something, it would just allow people to leave me alone and to shut off from the world. And I think that's why I feel so passionately about mental health, because to have those black, horrible thoughts that so many of us have had and may have, and to feel that crippling isolation when someone like me was as supported than probably anyone could dream of being, and yet I felt that desolate loneliness, it makes you hustle harder, because I think, thank Christ, I came through that. And you know what? Life is great. Like, it sounds cheesy as hell, but honestly, Laura, sure, I have my off days. Of course I do. But every day I'm just like, thank God. Like, look at what I have. You know, I have health and wealth within my family. I'm not saying I'm wealthy, but you know, I have food in my table. I have a roof over my head. And that for me is wealth. And that makes me hustle.
And Anna, I'm actually getting emotional listening to it. And I'm, you know, I didn't realize that about you, and you might not know my backstory, but
I
struggled so much when I became a mom 8 years ago. I have a little 8-year-old boy as well.
Oh.
And like, without going into the detail, but everything we hear about motherhood, it's the best time of your life, this is going to be amazing. And suddenly a light switch went off, and I struggled so much with my mental health that when he was 10 months old, I checked myself into a psychiatric hospital, spent two months there. And honestly, it took 3 years to rebuild my life.
Bless you.
And that's my why. And I just covered it there in two sentences. But that feeling you were describing there of thinking, maybe there's an easier way. what if I wasn't here anymore? And I don't right. think anyone can truly understand that feeling
no.
unless they've had it.
No.
And it's a scary place to be because there's a part of having that feeling where there's still the logic where you're like, yeah, but that's not the solution.
Right.
But then there's a moment where that logic starts reducing and you're like, oh, wow. And I really love, and this is not where we planned on taking this conversation,
no.
but I really love that we're talking about it because you, as an expert and a professional in this field, and the same in what I do, we're not supposed to talk about it. We're not supposed to say, oh, I had these feelings.
But we should, Laura.
But we need to, Anna.
But we need to, because, so you know what? Thank you for sharing that with me, you know, and with your listeners as well, because I remember Googling frantically mother-baby psychiatric units in
yeah.
the first 2 weeks of having Enzo, my son. And as you say, everyone else around me going, oh, you must be so happy.
Enjoy every moment.
You know, and I'm thinking, my body's broken. I'm angry yep. with my body. My birth went terribly. I had an enormous hemorrhage. I'm angry with everything. I wasn't even awake or conscious when my son came into this world. You know, I didn't even believe he was mine initially. I thought yeah. someone must have switched him at birth. All these feelings, which I felt silenced about. And I remember Googling mother-baby units, and it was like, I was desperate to go into one. I was desperate yeah. to go into one, but I didn't yeah. know how to. And I think, as you say, so many people, like there are, you know, heavy caveat, there are some people that have wonderful birth experiences. Mm-hmm. And I love that for people. And I don't ever want people to dumb that down either. Like some friends I'm like, oh, I don't want to say, but I had a really good birth. I'm like, say it. We need to
amazing.
Hear these wonderful stories.
Yeah.
We want to hear them. This is what we want to hear. It's amazing you've had a good experience. But equally, if you've had a shite one, as you say, you can't possibly, like, we're in the worst crappy club in the world, right? And I remember, just to add to yours for context, like, you know, good for you for, you know, being brave enough to take that step to get that help you clearly needed. And I remember knowing I needed the help, which, so I didn't go into a psychiatric unit, but I got psychiatric help through a consultant psychiatrist who then supported me hugely with medication and psychological support. But I remember knowing that this was the dark moment was when I was Googling as well, went down Dr. Google. You say, everyone else is Googling fluffy towels and baby toys. No, I was Googling psychiatric units and adoption. And it wasn't.
Oh my goodness, Anna, can
right?
I have never felt so seen. I have never heard another woman say this to me because I was at the same stuff.
Right.
And it wasn't everywhere around you, it's women enjoying motherhood. And you're like, why? There's yeah. no words to put in it. You're like, I feel like I'm going to die.
I'm going
this is
to
so
die.
Unbearably hard.
Yeah. Get me out of this life now.
Yeah.
I can't cope.